David show forth here? In Jesus' name. We have watched as this story tells us, how God has moved step by step, section by section. He's put things in place. The story started with a paralyzed, dismayed army. We divided up, and this was the valley. The story started there. A dismayed army. Now, down in that battlefield, instead of that army or even one of its own soldiers that had been dismayed, now God has placed a young man on that battlefield. David, with all that he believes about God and all that he believes about the covenant and the memories of deliverance that he has experienced, are down on that field, standing before the Philistine. The Philistine, Goliath, for 40 days, he had come out and been full of bluster. And the enemy had run. The enemy had disappeared before him. But today, now, instead, David has run up, accepting the Philistine's challenge. And he drew near to the Philistine, was the way it ended last week. He drew near to the Philistine after getting the five stones. That's what it says in 1 Samuel 17:40. So the Philistine came, Goliath came, and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. Now, instead of that, David has run up, accepting the Philistine's challenge. And Goliath, I got to pause and explain. You may hear some confusion. I discovered the Bible refers to him as the Philistine. Yes, two times in this passage he's referred to as Goliath, and so we do know his name. But then that name disappears. Now, if I'm going to be true to the Scripture, I've got to use the name, the reference, the Philistine. That hasn't drawn any huge light for me. That's what I'm going to do, for the most part. The Philistine yells out bluster and some confusion and goes to meet David. So the challenge has been accepted. At first, he spews out words. The Bible points to his attitude in 1742. And when the Philistine looked about him and saw David, he disdained him. The Philistine had a low opinion of David.
What is this?
You can imagine what's going through his mind, but whatever it is, it's something along the lines of, what? He had a low opinion of David. Oh, but then he thought of a clever line. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? A brother suggested, I had always seen that as a picture of Goliath referring to David as a stick. a brother pointed out to me that David would have run out there with his rod, with his staff, with his shepherd's staff. I don't know. It's not distinguished, but he does run out there like that, and Goliath has what I'm sure he thought was a very clever line, and it has a certain measure of, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Everything that the Philistine valued and thought was more important, David did not have. Catch that. Everything that the Philistine thought was important, David didn't have. And so the Philistine had the idea that this is nothing. This doesn't deserve my respect. And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He invoked the powers of the gods on David. And then he gives this phrase in 1743 and 1744. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And in 1744, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Words of destruction. This is his statement about the meaning of his, if he wins, this is what's going to mean. He defeats David. He wipes out David. He will dispose of David. That's what it means to Goliath. Now, it's David's turn. He gives his view of the battle. I might mention, it's also God's view of the battle. He describes Goliath in 1745, the first part of 1745. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, fully recognize, and David fully recognizes the power of the weapons arrayed in front of him. Unlike Goliath, unlike the Philistine, David knew this was tough stuff sitting in front of him. There's no dismissing how powerful these weapons are. That's not David's point, David's reference point. David's reference point is not the weakness of those arms. He has a different point, and he comes to this. He adds this: I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. There's a very important comparison here, contrast. The Philistine, full of swagger, controls his world through his weapons. His weapons form his perspective, his ability to make his world what it should be. That's contrasted. David points not to himself or any weapon that he can have, but he points to the one who is the maker of heaven and earth, who is more than the weapons. He is in God. He is not the ultimate. For Goliath, he uses the weapons. He is the ultimate. David knows who the real creator is, who the real head of the world, the real power. And then he describes what he will do to Goliath. He makes this in 1746. Then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with... 1746, yes, there we are. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This is hugely dramatic, and I'm not dramatizing it. I mean, the drama is in the event. I will strike you and take your head from you. And then he says something that's very similar to what the Philistine had said. I will give you the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. David's victory, he uses the same words, but he's not just talking about Goliath. His victory, incredibly, is the overall of the Philistines. Goliath, the Philistine was talking about taking care of David. David is talking about the whole of the Philistines. My goodness. David's victory will extend to all of the Philistines, but that's not the end of the purpose. The purpose is more important and more than that. At the end of 1746, this is going to happen that all the earth, there's two audiences. The first one is that the whole earth will know that there is a God in Israel. This is happening by God, not so that David gets some kind of glory out of it, but so that the whole earth will know. This is a message to the audience of all the earth. And that's why we can hear it today. We are part of that whole earth. And we receive and feel and hear that victory. There's a second audience. He also is doing it that this assembly may know that it is not by sword or spear. This is 1747, in case you're looking for it. This is not by sword or spear that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. But the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. Powerful. This victory, well, but I want to make sure we catch that audience. The two different audiences, there's a whole lot to be shown here, but I want to lift up the audiences are so important to understand. David sees it's not only that he's defeating the Philistines and getting that immediate problem taken care of. He's also the people that are part of this whole assembly will learn it's not by sword or spear. Saul had attempted to put that sword or spear, that all of that defensive weaponry, or the armor, on David. And David is saying here, you guys got to learn, it's not that stuff that saves us. It's the Lord that saves us. And the Lord, and even more than that, it's the Lord. The Lord has a purpose way beyond us. Way beyond our salvation. The Lord is busy with something, accomplishing something. And you, the assembly, you need to learn about this too. And we are still that assembly. And as I said a moment ago, we are still learning from this. That's why it's God's word that is, he has said this. We need to receive what he has in this for us. And with that, God has done his preparatory work. He's done the moves, step by step. He's laid out and allowed Goliath to lay out the meaning of this battle. What did it accomplish? What will it accomplish? Why are we bothering to fight? He's laid all that out, and now we come to the flight, to the fight itself. Well, in a moment, the flight, but the summary of the meaning, if Goliath kills David, that's the meaning, Goliath triumphs. If David kills Goliath, the world knows there's a God in Israel. The assembly knows God is at work. God wins. It's God's victory. They're working. David is acting on God's, under God, under His authority, and for Him. The climax of the story, we're at the climax of the story now. And it's not drawn out. These are the passages. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew to meet near David, to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and threw out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone struck, sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. There it is. He has fallen. David, God has put David in the place to do this. And God, and the meaning is, they'll know that there's a God in Israel, and that it's not by sword or spear that the battle is won. And the Bible says what I think is this beautiful phrase, this beautiful verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Just to put a period at the end of that sentence. God has won a victory here. Amen. The meaning is clear. The battle is the Lord's. God is really alive. It's a lesson to the world, and it's a lesson to us. And that's, honestly, that's the end of the story. We'll let that stand. There are some points to be made, though. This is an event back then. And it became a story for back then. Goliath, the name, while Goliath is only referred to twice in this passage, his name comes up several times later. It's a story that has remained, it had resonance for the people of Israel. And they referred to it. It's something that happened, and that's something, that's important. So it's a story for them. It also tells us a story with instruction. There's a host of lessons that we can draw from this. I quickly wrote up a list of 10 here. We may go through more of these at the men's meeting tomorrow night, or we may want to just wrestle with these. But I want to lift up three. Oh, by the way, if you have any questions, you want to see this list, I'd be glad to, you know, mention it to me. Ask me. I'd be glad to. We don't have to limit it to the men's meeting. The first one, it's just to me, forgive me, not to me. It's an important lesson. This story shows God acting. It's like the book of Esther. God is never mentioned once in that book. But if you read that story, when you read that story, you can just have the feel. God is moving. God is doing this. God is doing that. Right here. There's no express statement that God... Well, like, for instance, in contrast, when God called Saul and put Saul in leadership, it says the Holy Spirit fell on Saul more than once. It says that. That doesn't happen here. But you know God is... That doesn't mean God isn't acting. It doesn't even mean that the Holy Spirit isn't acting. It just means that it's more subtle, but we still get the feel. God is acting. God puts pieces in place step by step. He brings in David. He confronts David with what David himself believes. He draws David in front of Saul to get permission, and so on. I've spent 4 sermons going over those things, but that's the first thing I want to lift up. God works, has worked in stages and powerfully, and gets what he wants. That's a whole other lesson. What is it God wanted? A second thing, this is something we all need to look at again, over time, again and again, the character of David. The very way he thinks. Read through this story again and pick out in this story what David feels. What did David bring to this event? One of the brothers pointed out, this is what David believes, and he quoted the passage we just read. David did believe that when he walked onto the battlefield and sometime before that. But he didn't believe that passage about giving Goliath, the Philistines' bodies to the birds of the air. He didn't believe that when he walked onto the battlefield. He believed what became that. Look at that. Look at the character of David, because that's part of what God is doing. He is putting this character, this faith, this belief, this sense of deliverance onto the throne. In this story, he's putting it right out there in front of all the army. Later on, he would move it up so that that set of beliefs that David held are in control, in the place of authority in Israel. That's what God wants his people to be like. When they were in charge of Israel, Israel grew to be truly a world power at that time. That is the example. There's other examples, and Ed has talked about who's an example for how we live. Did a whole series on that in Joshua one year. So I want to be careful with this. And I don't want you to focus on David in place of the Lord. Still, the characteristics that David has, David is, the person that David is, that's what God wants in leadership, even now. The character of David. And the third thing, the translators use the English words in and with to distinguish between what Goliath's relationship, the instruments that Goliath had a with relationship with his weapons. That's the word that's used. They're next to him. He uses them as an instrument. He was with his weapons. It was Goliath's relationships to his weapons. He was in charge. He used the weapons. Refers to David's relationship with his God. David was not in charge. Nor did God use David. Be careful with this, but then again, face it too. David was part of God. In a sense, but that's not too hard to make the case for us, especially past the New Testament, because we are the body of Christ. We are in Christ. And that phrase is used several times, or at least it has a great deal of power, that in the New Testament and for us. Now, we can be in a with relationship with God. We may try to make God our tool for prosperity and for health. We may try to make God our tool for even our spiritual life. But it's a different thing than being in Christ, being His child and receiving the blessings that He has. We can also be in an in relationship with God. We have a right, even an obligation, to seek the blessings of the Lord, as David did. But also, David, in God, looked at the Philistines and the dismayed army, being in God. When he looked at the army, he looked at the Philistines. It was the other way around. He looked at the Philistine. He looked at this army that ran away from fear. And in God, he knew that wasn't the way it should be. God used that then. As his body in him, let's do this. Let's look at today's Goliath, today's Philistines, and know, even with anger or whatever the Lord leads us, and know it's not the way it should be. Amen. As I said, I have just treasured, been fearful at times, but treasured the opportunity to wrestle with these things with the men. And tomorrow night we'll be there. Let's work on it there. And if any of you have any other questions, feel free to bring them, or not, as you care to. Amen.